is The Dave Glover Show with Dave, Rachel, and Kevin. Sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com.
And welcome back to The Dave Glover Show with Hancock and Kelly. We'll be with you all week long till Friday. Somebody else coming in here Friday. Who's doing it, Wheeler?
Yeah, Wheels is back.
You know who's here with us now?
A guy whose name sounds like a quarterback. Sean Malone.
Hey, Sean Malone.
Who we have just learned is an expert in the National Football League.
More importantly, he's an expert in fantasy football.
That's right.
And Sean, correct me if I'm wrong, but this was the first week of the playoffs, was it not?
For fantasy football's sake, this was the semifinals in some leagues, championship in some others. Depends on how your format is laid out. A little bit harder to figure out in recent years with the NFL extending its season a week. Some leagues you like to finish it up in the week that just ended. Others, this is the championship week that you're heading into in a lot of leagues, though.
And you?
I am in the championship in my Dynasty League. Got bounced from the playoffs in a couple of my other leagues. That's the only one I'm in the championship. And thankfully, in the one game all season that I had Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, and Justin Jefferson all healthy, I avoided finishing in last place in my punishment league, which is my friends locally out here.
Let's talk through those. You said what was the first one you said? Some type of premium league?
Dynasty. So
what's that mean?
Different variations of what dynasty means for some versus others. So some dynasties can be you keep two players at the end of the year over to the next year, and sometimes there's a stipulation you can keep them for just a little bit. Some for as long as you want. Depends on how your league likes to do it. Mine is incredibly complicated. We try to simulate the NFL as much as possible. So we've got a salary cap. Contract extension, separate rookie draft. Yeah, we've had this thing going on a Google Sheet for a long time. Now we actually, the platform that I write and podcast for, Fantrax, great format. If you have a similar league to that, that's where we've moved it over to a couple of years ago. I've since begun writing and working for them in the podcasting realm as well.
Wow.
But that does a good job of keeping track of all that stuff for you and makes life a lot easier on the commissioners who are in charge of that league for us.
So you got a podcast on this stuff?
Yes.
Where can I find that thing?
Where podcasts are found? The Odyssey app. It's the Fly Fantasy Football Podcast.
The Fly Fantasy Football Podcast.
Myself, Colin McDonald. Tammany is my co-host. He's based out of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And so we haven't had a chance to meet in person, but you know, we'll sometimes, when our schedules align, both get together and do the pod. I'll usually handle the waiver wire episode. That should be out sometime shortly today. Colin usually heads up the weekly preview episode where he breaks down every single game that week.
All right, let's talk through the punishment league. Now, these are the leagues where somebody has to make a fool of themselves or get a tattoo, or what's the story here?
Depends on what your league is and how bold everyone in your league is, but yeah, that's what a punishment league is. It's more about not finishing in last place as opposed to trying to finish in first. You know, there's still a cash prize in the punishment league. I do. But the bigger focus is not finishing in last place.
What happens?
Yeah, what happens in your league?
In my league, it changes year to year. So one year, we pelted the loser with Rotten Tomatoes. Another year, somebody had to get waxed because they lost.
Ooh!
There's one looking forward to this year, and especially now that it's settled, we've been given a hard time all day today to the loser in this league. They're going on a bus trip.
Ooh.
A Greyhound bus.
Yeah.
I am not going to reveal on the air, give any indication to where we're sending him to, just in case word gets back to him about it.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't want that. So he's got to get on a bus?
Yeah, Greyhound bus. It's going to be a long... We got the inspiration. One other league that we saw online from last year, their loser had to basically spend 24 hours on planes. They just found a bunch of different planes where they're going to fly him into this city. About an hour later, it's essentially like a layover. He gets on another plane to another city, and they just jumped him around the country for a day, basically.
Wow.
And we thought, oh, that's funny. Maybe we should do that. We'll fly you out to a random city. And then we realized
that costs money.
That's expensive.
Well, yeah, it'd be cheaper and probably funnier if we threw you on a bus, because you're not on just a 3-5 hour flight. You could be there for 10, 12, 18 hours.
So this poor guy has got to get on a bus for 11 hours.
And he doesn't, at least until he gets on the bus, doesn't know where he's going.
Wow.
And
so
we're sending him to Vegas, or?
He wishes. He wishes we were
not
sending him somewhere.
I think
somewhere that
be...
fun. He wishes we were. We're going to send you somewhere where it's
downtown
not going to be
Baltimore.
As fun. So, oh. Somewhere where you're gonna have a hard time trying to find something fun to do. That's all I'll say about that. But that's it. What? And then what you do with your time there is up to you. But essentially, the only rules is you have to ride the bus route that we are giving you.
How long
you
does can't the poor just, guy have to stay in wherever he's going?
I think it's going to basically he's going to leave on Saturday and get back on Sunday.
Blows up the whole weekend.
Man.
Yes.
He lost the league. And now
while he's, you know, out on a bus, we're all going to go out and watch, you know, the first round of the NFL playoffs and hang out together.
Playoffs,
yeah.
Yes.
So he's going to be stuck on a bus
this
during
is brutal.
That as well.
Aren't you worried that someday you may be on the short end of the stick here?
I'm worried because the last 2 years, it was almost me. It was almost me this year. And it was almost me last year. I was in the last place game last year. I took Jonathan Taylor number one overall last year. He had an awful season. So back to back years of picking number one overall in this league has not worked out in my favor.
So you're in how many different leagues?
Five total, and I do like a weekly DraftKings type league.
How do you
with,
keep it all straight?
Honestly, I say football is the one sport that I can because you don't need to check it every day.
Right.
You know, like the games are played on, for the most part, except for these end of seasons where they, you know, start throwing Saturday games in, Thursday, Sunday, Monday.
Yep.
So those are the days I really need to focus, and Tuesday when I'm making ads on, you know, right, waiver wire. That's what anyone who is considering joining a fantasy league and is worried about the time commitment to like one. I usually break it down. You got to spend 5 minutes three separate times a week to be successful. Check your lineup on a Tuesday. See if you won from the week before. Put in some waiver claims to try to add some people. Check your lineup on a Thursday. Make sure nobody hurt is playing. And check your lineup on Sunday. Make any last minute additions you might need to make. And again, make sure nobody hurt is playing. You do that and you can be successful doing that. So it's not as big a time commitment, football, as other sports in fantasy. Baseball, basketball, hockey, where you got to check it every
multiple,
they're
every
games
day.
Every day. So those are the ones that are harder to keep up with.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you obviously have to follow the league. You've been a passionate football fan your whole life?
Yes.
So you grew up rooting for?
The New York Football Giants.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, right now it is poor guy, but I've witnessed two Super Bowl victories in my lifetime, so I can't
Eli
complain.
Manning.
Yes.
He beat Tom Brady in one of those Super Bowls.
Both of them.
He beat him twice.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And then you've got, they've got a little bit of a quarterback controversy now in New York.
Yeah, who's going to be, whether it's Daniel Jones or they move on in a different direction. So that's, you know, the silver lining with this season is I like Tommy DeVito. It's a good story.
Right.
I don't think.
Long term?
Yeah. Long term, I think he's proven that he can be a formidable backup. You know, if you need to go to him in a pinch, you can do a lot worse than Tommy DeVito, but I'm not looking at Tommy DeVito and thinking, oh, this is the next Brock Purdy for the New York Giants. You know, we got this quarterback that, you know, we think is the answer in Daniel Jones, and then the unknown backup comes in and, you know, saves. I don't really see that happening
with
Tommy
DeVito.
No
Kurt Warner story here.
Nope. Nah. Good story with Tommy DeVito. He's a local kid. You know, everyone's been having fun with his big Italian family, you know, New Jersey Italian, the Sopranos are tied into that as well. But I do, like I said, I don't think he's the Brock Purdy. I don't think he's going to be running away with a career as a high-quality NFL starter.
Yeah, well, undrafted. You just don't see that very often, mm-hmm. if ever. Did we learn anything last night about the 49ers and the Ravens?
I think the biggest thing we learned is that the Baltimore Ravens are the team to beat in football. This whole season has kind of felt more so than any other year. Like, anybody can beat anybody. I mean, we'll see the Miami Dolphins. You go back to even the beginning of the season, you know, they dropped 70 points on the Denver Broncos, and the very next week they lost to the Buffalo Bills. Then the Buffalo Bills went on that terrible stretch of football where they weren't playing well. Yeah, every single team, I mean, the Eagles almost just lost to the Giants.
Right.
Yeah, it feels like anybody can beat anybody in the league this year. And with the win last night, especially in the how dominant of a performance that it was offensively and defensively, it kind of feels like the Ravens are that one team above everyone else now.
Well,
one has finally separated themselves.
In San Francisco.
Yes.
That was impressive.
An East Coast team traveling west. I know it's usually the inverse is harder, but still not easy being an East Coast team traveling out west.
I'm not counting the 49ers out yet. I still think they're, you know, week in, week out, one of the best teams out there. But
I think they're the best in the NFC, but I think now the Ravens have proven, okay, there's us and then a half step below. I'm still not putting them in their own tier, but kind of a half step below them. There's a whole mess of other teams.
Lamar Jackson clearly showed MVP quality last night, huh?
Yes. I mean, I've been a huge fan of his since he was in college, so I'm loving the success he's having in his NFL career. And everyone's bringing it up again that Lamar Jackson, teams could have made offers on him this offseason. They'd have to give up multiple first round picks to get him and probably even negotiate some sort of a trade with the Ravens or work the contract in a way that the Ravens don't have the cap to match it. But it's mind-blowing that all these teams that it's so hard to find a high-quality quarterback in the NFL, and one was out there saying he wants out of Baltimore because they weren't giving him the contract he wants, and nobody even checked in on him. Not a single team made an offer on Lamar Jackson, and he's now, like you said, playing at an MVP level and proving everyone wrong in that regard.
He may not have trouble next year, huh?
Oh, he's got a contract now, so he's got that already locked up.
What about Miami? You look at that team, they've put it together. Tua's got that soft head, but they are the fastest team in the NFL.
And it's fun seeing all these pieces finally falling in place for them. You know, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, the running backs, Raheem Mostert is staying healthy and having a career season. And Tua, it's unbelievable to watch him just drop dimes all over the field with the career that he's had up until this point. He's always looked like he's had it, but like you mentioned, you know, the injuries last year in particular with all the concussions that he had that almost ended his career. I believe he talked about how he was considering whether or not he could return to football, and now he's playing like an MVP contender himself. I mean, he's certainly in the conversation for winning the MVP award. And, you know, back to my point before about anybody could beat anybody. I think that's win for the Miami Dolphins was the first win of the season against a team above 500.
That's exactly right.
So, good to see Miami show that it's not one of those, oh, we're just as good as our schedule. But, you know, that in terms of playoff seeding, that really hurt them, the Baltimore Ravens getting that win, because the Dolphins play a lot better at home compared to on the road.
One of the jokes that John and I have every week talking about the team was Baker Mayfield. Remember, he came in with all the hype. They had all the commercials. Heck, you know, and all of a sudden, Baker Mayfield seems like he may have found himself a place to play, and he could be the comeback player of the year.
Good for him, too, because Baker was one of those. He wasn't a terrible number one overall pick, but he didn't live up to the expectations that come with taking a quarterback number one overall. You expect a Joe Burrow type of player out of that, where, you know, MVP level, fringe MVP contender. And Baker was always, at his best, good. Not great, not like, oh, wow, this is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He'd have a game like that every once in a while. But when you look at his season as a whole, it was always good. And this is probably, I'd have to look at the stats more closely, but this is probably his best season as a pro with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't have his numbers right in front of me, but, you know, he's a player that he didn't sign a big contract this offseason. So I imagine he'll lean towards coming back to Tampa Bay. But the big thing to watch with them, and particular with trying to bring back Baker Mayfield, is Mike Evans has been his favorite target this season. They didn't give Mike Evans a contract this year. So Mike Evans is up for a new contract. He could leave to go somewhere else. Maybe Kansas City. They're certainly in need of a top flight wide receiver. But if he doesn't come back to Tampa Bay, is Baker Mayfield. So it'll be interesting to watch that, especially with the franchise tag as an option. If they can strike a deal with one or the other. And if they can't get it with other, does Baker get the tag, and then you hope to re-sign Evans?
So the story of the year probably has to be the Detroit Lions, right?
The Lions, and I mean, if it wasn't for this poor stretch of injuries that they've been in, how about the Houston Texans as well? A team that came from out of nowhere. I mean, C.J. Stroud, and if you recall in the beginning of the year, that offensive line was in shambles. Mm-hmm. And there was a game where they lost all four starters from what they expected to have when the year began to, I think it was like week two. They only had one starter on the offensive line. And C.J. Stroud has been lighting it up on the field. He took, other than, you know, the addition of Tank Dell, a group of what was considered a poor wide receiver core, and making them look like one of the best young units in football now. So I think that might be the best, you know, team that's come out of nowhere story. The Lions have the longer history because they've been around longer of not winning anything, and they're a great story, but it's not like the Texans have much of a history of success throughout the league. So I think they're a fun story, too, especially if they can get healthy down the stretch here. I think the Lions, it kind of helps that we've had the behind the scenes look on them for a couple of years now. Like Hard Knocks came in and did them in the preseason. So we kind of know who Dan Campbell is as a person.
Good coach.
So, and I think that kind of adds to the story of the Lions is that, you know, he's this lovable character we've gotten to see recently, and now we're seeing the success find him.
Dude knows his football, man. It's impressive stuff.
Sean Malone, you hear his dulcet tones on the KMOX News, reporting and anchoring. Thanks so much for your time. This time, until next time.
Yep.
All right, when we come back, President Donald Trump had a Christmas message that he delivered to all of his many followers. We'll talk about that next on KMOX.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly, sponsored by Insperity, HR that makes a difference, on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
You know, Hancock, I don't get your party. The majority of you, it seems as though, are obsessed with Donald Trump, going to elect him to be your nominee for president. Every election since he got elected, he's lost. And he continues to put stuff out in social media that just has me scratching my head, but obviously must tickle the base of the Republican Party.
Well, the former president had a Christmas message to the American people yesterday. He put it out on his Truth Social, and I thought, well, in the spirit of the holidays, I would do a dramatic reading of
this ought to be
Donald
good.
Trump's message to America, sent yesterday, Christmas Day, 2023. And it says as follows. Merry Christmas to all, including crooked Joe Biden's only hope, deranged Jack Smith, the out-of-control lunatic who just hired outside attorneys fresh from the swamp, unprecedented, to help him with his poorly executed witch hunt against Trump and MAGA. Included also are world leaders, both good and bad, but none of which are as evil and sick as the thugs we have inside our country, who, with their open borders, inflation, Afghanistan surrender, Green New scam, high taxes, no energy independence, woke military, Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Iran, all electric car lunacy, and so much more, are looking to destroy our once great USA. May they rot in hell again. Merry Christmas.
This is a standard bearer of your party, man.
Well, that was quite a message.
He is quite a unique individual. But by the way, this is all entertainment, because that's what Donald Trump is. At the end of the day, he's an entertainer. And I think this plays to the base of the Republican Party,
no,
or whatever's left of the base of the Republican Party, which seems to be more driven by anger than principle these days, because the base of the Republican Party is now the Trump base, and that's not a base based in true conservative principles or the religious right where the party used to have its center. Now it seems to me it's in this kind of collegiate boy humor, anger, rudeness that is emblematic of who this man is.
So I think there is, you know, in all seriousness, I think there is a deep loathing by many in the country over what they perceive as establishment institutions and leaders who they believe have ignored the needs and desires of vast swaths of the population. And Donald Trump speaks to them in a way that they appreciate, and, you know, it's not my cup of tea. But
yeah, but they don't hold him accountable to failure to deliver on the things that they say matter to them.
Well, because what really ultimately matters to them is somebody who is against the system.
Anybody.
As it is.
Just if everybody's saying go that way, he wants to automatically yell go in the wrong
way.
And
I think there's a real appeal to that for an awful lot of people out there. And it really has nothing to do with conservatism, per se. I think it's all about taking on the institutions that folks believe have ignored them and taking them for granted and treated them dismissively for a long time. And I think that's the bond that exists between Donald Trump and millions of people in this country. Now, the question is, are there millions of people in this country insufficient number that will elect Donald Trump president in 2024. Maybe. Certainly, if it's against Joe Biden, the chances of that are better. But it's also true that large numbers of Americans think Donald Trump is utterly unfit to be president of the United States. And they believe he demonstrates that on a daily basis, whether it's his postings or his rally speeches. So that's kind of where things are politically, Michael.
What are we going to do next, buddy?
Are you smarter than Michael Kelly? I've got three categories: sports, politics, and television and movies. If you'd like to play for fabulous, well, we don't have any prizes. 436-7900. Come on in. Are you smarter than Michael Kelly? Next on Camel X. And now it's time for America's favorite game show. Are you smarter than Michael Kelly? Starring John Hancock is your magnificently talented host. And Michael Kelly lame contestant. And you, our faithful listeners at 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Join us, call in to join us and see if, in fact, you might be smarter than Michael Kelly. And here's how the game works. There are three categories: sports, politics, and television and movies. And you will pick a category. I will read a question. You will wait to give your answer until you hear Michael Kelly's ding. When Michael Kelly dings, that means he has written his answer down on the page. You then give me your answer. Michael Kelly will reveal his answer, and we'll see if, in fact, you are smarter than Michael Kelly. And joining us now from St. Louis, Missouri, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Brett to KMOX. Hello, Brett.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Great. Brett, are you of the belief that you, Brett, are smarter than Michael Kelly?
You know what? I'm going 50-50. He's a pretty smart guy, so we'll see what I can do.
That's right,
he has his moments. He knew about the ice earlier.
Good thinking.
Yes. Go ahead, Brett.
Hi, Michael. I actually I introduced myself to you a couple of weeks ago at Hardee's. I'm the gentleman that saw you two at the Sphere.
Oh, yeah. This guy saw you two at the Sphere just like me, and he and I were comparing notes.
Well, this is Brett.
And the fact that he went to see you two at the Sphere means that he may be as smart as me.
It could well be the case. It's often the case. Okay, no, ding your bell.
Well, I just gave a good answer. I said he was almost as small as me.
Until I've asked the question. Brett, your choice of category: sports, politics, or television and movies?
Let's go television and movies.
That's Brett is picking television and movies, and the question is this. And, PJ, do we have some suspense music, game show music, maybe a little Jeopardy theme that we can lay in behind there as I read the question and we wait for Michael Kelly to fill out his answer? And, Brett, don't respond until you hear Michael's ding.
Okay.
And here is your question. Name the actor who played the role of Santa in the movie Elf. All right, don't say anything, Brett. The movie was Elf. Came out some time ago.
Well, that's a good question.
Santa Claus was in that movie. Of course, Elf starring Will Ferrell as Elf. Comedic role. Zoe Deschanel was it. Michael Kelly has dinged his dinger.
Written down.
All right.
I can see everybody in that movie except Santa. Newhart and... Oh, I don't know.
Take a guess, because that's what I did. I don't know
either.
Just
spit something out there.
Ed Asner.
That's a good guess.
It is, Michael Kelly said.
I said John Hamm, but I think he's right.
The answer is Bob Newhart played the role of... You said Newhart.
He's not Santa.
Yes, he's Santa.
No, he's not.
Bob Newhart?
No,
he's Newhart was an elf.
He's the head elf.
Oh, okay, you're right about that.
Well, guess what? What's your name? What's this guy's name?
Are you smarter
or
than John Hancock?
Smarter than John Hancock? Both Hancock.
Are you sure? Who played the role? Say it may have been Ed Asner.
I think it was Ed Asner.
Oh, you may be. This may be an all-time embarrassing moment for me.
It's Ed Asner.
It is.
Oh, wow.
Well, Brett, are you smarter than Michael Kelly,
you're smarter
than the both of us combined.
Well, that's because you're not even smart enough to read the questions.
I thought I had that down. I just saw Elf the other day, and there was Bob Newhart, but he was the head elf.
Yeah.
He was not Santa.
This guy, he and I went to the U2 concert out there. Hey, all right. Brett, who besides U2 could pull that place off?
Well, you know, it's funny because we were just having this discussion over Christmas the other day. You know, since it's not really a stage show, but I still think the Foo Fighters could pull it off.
Sure, agree.
I think that I'm not a big Harry Styles fan, but I think Harry Styles could pull it off.
Okay.
Obviously, Fish is going to be able to do it.
Yep.
Because they're there next, right?
This guy is far smarter than you, Hancock.
Well, everybody is.
He knows some good answers. All right, what's the next question?
Well, we've got sports, politics, or another TV and movie question, which
let's go politics.
Hey, now.
All right.
I'm going to see what I know.
All right. There was a historic election that took place in 1912.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, no.
Three candidates vying for the presidency, a Democrat, a Republican, and a third-party candidate. Who finished in third place in the popular vote in 1912? Michael Kelly is thinking over there. I know I got this one right. I may not know TV and movies, but darn it, I know my power. Michael Kelly has dinged his dinger. Brett, who finished in third place in the 1912 election?
I do know that Wilson
won.
Yeah. But the answer is who cares?
No, that's not the answer.
I'm going to take another guess here. I'm going to go
Teddy Roosevelt. And Michael Kelly, you said?
Mickey Mouse, because who cares? The man lost. He came in third place.
He was the president of the United States at the time.
Right.
The only president of the United States to ever finish third in a presidential election, William Howard Taft.
Uh-oh.
Finished third, Teddy Roosevelt in second place, and you correctly pointed out, Brett, that Woodrow Wilson won that race. All right, Brett, thank you very much. Happy New Year, and thank you so much for playing.
Thanks, guys. Have a great New Year.
Good to talk to you again. That had to be a little embarrassing for you.
Well, here you are. It's TV and
First
movies.
Of all, you're asking a question about who finished third. Well, this is America. We don't reward losers, brother.
Well, but it's
We're all about the winners.
That was a historically significant election.
I get
election.
It, but it was in 1912.
Teddy Roosevelt on the Bull Moose Party, Michael.
Yeah.
And coming back, trying to recapture his greatness in the White House. The only really third-party candidate that really had possibly a shot to win.
Right.
And it resulted in splitting the Republican vote, electing Woodrow Wilson, who, very interestingly, historians thought Wilson was a near-great president for years after he left the office. He had a stroke his last year in office. His wife was running the country. He started the League of Nations, got us through World War I, and historians had given him very high marks. It has since come out that he was a vile racist. He brought us the income tax. He brought us the Federal Reserve, a lot of things. And his view among historians has taken a real hit in a way that you really don't see very often with American presidents. You look at presidents who have been rehabilitating by historians. Ulysses S. Grant is probably chief among them. Is considered a much better president today than he was 30 years ago. Calvin Coolidge, my hero, considered a much better president today than he was 30 or 40 years ago. So those.
Well, everybody went up in the rankings after we got rid of the previous guy.
Since we got PJ over here, and I know he's a sports aficionado, this is a great question. I like to ask these sports questions from time to time. Today is the 69th birthday of...
I got it.
Yeah?
The Wizard of Oz.
Yes. Ozzie Smith, Cardinals shortstop from 1981 till 1996, a 10-time gold glove, maybe 13-time. He won a lot of gold gloves and won a world championship with the St. Louis Cardinals. He was our shortstop. He's a Hall of Famer. Here's your question. Who replaced Ozzie Smith as a starting shortstop for the St. Louis Cardinals? And I'll give you a multiple choice here.
I know it.
Oh.
Royce Clayton.
Yes! Mike, did you know that, Peach?
I had no idea, no.
Oh, that was very good,
It was
Michael.
A very controversial thing. I mean, here you had arguably the greatest shortstop in the history of the game being replaced by Tony La Russa, who arguably may be one of the greatest managers.
All right, we've
got
to step aside. I got one more. This is
You didn't want to hear my talk.
Okay. No, I did. It was enough.
Yeah, it was all right.
This former Cardinal most valuable player.
Okay.
I'll give you a multiple choice on this.
I may know this.
Former Cardinal most valuable player won 10 gold gloves and ended his Major League Baseball career with the Cleveland Indians.
I got it.
Yeah?
Andy Van Slyke.
No. I will give you your options. Ken Boyer, Orlando Cepeda, Keith Hernandez, or Bill White. Yeah. Cardinal MVP, a 10-time Gold Glove winner, ended his career with the Cleveland Indians.
Do you know, PJ? Go ahead.
I'm pretty sure it's Keith Hernandez.
Michael?
I have no idea. I said whoever I just said. I don't even remember. Who is it?
Keith Hernandez. Hey, that is correct. Matt Pajeski, congratulations.
I thought he finished with the Mets.
Mets. Well, that's why I put the Cleveland Indians in to throw things off. His last year spent with the Indians in Cleveland. That's Michael Kelly, Matt Pajeski. I'm John Hancock. We have just a few more moments with you, and then Total Information PM continues. We've got a little check on traffic coming up, and then we'll be back right here on KMOX. X.
Here's somebody who's working on Christmas, just like Hancock and Kelly. Well, welcome into the studio, Matt Pauley.
Fellas, how are you?
Fine, great. Man. How did you draw the short straw to be here with us?
He works here.
It's not a holiday.
Well, most of these other people,
I'm still the new guy. I've only been here for a year and a half. I don't have the equity to be like, hey, Steve, I'm going to take 2 weeks off like Dave Glover does.
That's what we're the new guys still, too. And, 15 years. Yeah, we're still the new guys.
How was Christmas?
It was fantastic.
I mean, this was a big Christmas for the Pauley family.
Yeah, my daughter was four, yes. So I mean, this was the first.
She's like really into it.
Yeah,
now.
The night before, we're counting down every day. It was, and just watching her open presents. Yeah.
What time did
so
she get
fun.
Up?
We told her, we're horrible parents. We told her, unless there's an emergency, you are not allowed to come out of your room until we come and get you. And my wife and I slept until about 8:30 and we got her.
Was she sitting there
she was awake all night.
You're not going to get away with that much longer.
8:30.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. We were about an hour and a half into it by then. We were going to tackle our parents.
It was.
I mean, we threatened her with, hey, Santa may not come if you come out of your room.
Well, he does know. Probably $6,000-$7,000 worth of therapy down the road on that.
As long as I'm not paying for it.
Well, that's fun. And you're in your new house. So then Christmas, you had
and my
tree
wife
up.
Is pregnant. So,
that's right.
We've got just so many things going on. Wow. My parents are living back in town again, so we saw them later in the day, so we got to do that with them. So, my daughter opened up her parents from my wife's parents on FaceTime with them, and then we went over to my parents' house. So she had multiple sessions of present opening.
That's so cool. Yeah.
Did she have a favorite, one that kind of rocked her world?
Yeah, so there's a Sky from Paw Patrol. There's a plane that has all kinds of, it makes all kinds of noises and everything. Oh, and that was the number one thing that she got.
Paw Patrol. Is that a commercial? A cartoon?
Yes.
It's pretty
big.
Paw Patrol. It's huge. Yeah. They went to the movies. Matt took her to the movies to see Paw Patrol.
That's awesome.
They even make fun of parents in the movies because they basically tell you that we're doing stuff to cost you money. Like in the most recent movie, they blew up the tower and they started working out of a aircraft carrier just so the Pauley family could go drop $99.99 on the Paw Patrol aircraft, which was not even the number one gift for my daughter.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That's
incredible.
What did you think of those football games yesterday?
I thought the Ravens really showed out.
Man, he is what a quarterback,
Lamar. Yeah, he's really good, and their defense is. I mean, they've always been so good defensively under Harbaugh in Baltimore, but my goodness, that should be the Super Bowl matchup,
class of the league,
and I think
it
still will be.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting? I was looking at, I'm not a big sports gambling guy at all, but I like seeing, I think that the way lines move is interesting.
Yeah.
And the odds really didn't change for the 49ers after yesterday. The Ravens' odds got a little bit better to win the Super Bowl, but the 49ers' odds basically stayed the same, and they're still the favorite to win.
Well, but don't you think, my understanding of gambling is it's not a true reflection of what's going to happen. It's a balance of where the general public is in terms of betting. And it makes sense to me that the 49ers would still have the momentum, et cetera.
And not a lot of money would probably come in when I was looking at it last night. I didn't look at it today. But you're right. What a point spread is or a money line is to, the idea is to get some half the people to bet on one side and half the people to bet on the other.
What about Kansas City, man? This is just not that good of a team, is it?
So many drops.
Yeah.
So many drops.
Well, he's got nobody to throw it to.
But even Kelsey's dropping it.
Yeah, but he's double teamed.
Yeah, but he's still dropping stuff. It's just... I think they're going to be fine once they get in the postseason.
Do you?
I was reading something today that if Washington fires Ron Rivera immediately after the season and the entire coaching staff and Eric Bieniemy became available again, that the Chiefs would consider bringing Eric Bieniemy back just for the playoff run, which would be...
Whoa!
If they did that and they went on one sort of a run, what better thing for his head coaching candidacy could there possibly be than him returning to Kansas City?
Well, I mean, that's been a narrative as Mahomes has kind of struggled through the last... multiple weeks now, is that Bieniemy being gone has had a profound impact. Do you buy it?
Yeah, I do. But more about Mahomes was talking about how Bieniemy did a really good job of keeping everybody accountable. That was one of his roles with that team, and he feels like that doesn't exist as much. So just his presence, I think, would
be
good.
Yeah, but that seems unfair to me, that you get to pick somebody up when they get done with their other job to go with you for the playoffs. I mean, that's...
I mean, Washington doesn't have to let him out of his contract.
Yeah, when Mike Trout's out every year with the Angels, so we just bring him in for, a couple weeks with the Cardinals? I mean, that's not right.
How would you like to be the offensive coordinator that's in Kansas City now and they bring your predecessor back?
Yeah,
that would be a slap.
Not great for job security.
Probably not going to work out so well for that poor guy. But yeah, they've been a disappointing team. I mean, everybody thought
9-6?
I mean,
they're average.
Very.
Yeah.
You know, probably win their division, but that's might be it. That may be all she wrote. Matt Pauly, you got Sports Open Line tonight from 6 till 8 o'clock.
Mr. Pajeski over here is working.
He's incredible, this guy.
He's doing everything.
He's unbelievable, yeah. Matt Pajeski. Those knobs he's got over there, it's amazing what he does with those
things. Why are you talking about his knobs?
Well, he's got the knobs. He's got the little lights on there. It's a fascinating little board he's sitting behind. Michael Kelly, we will do this again tomorrow.
That's right.
I appreciate you being here. The news is next, and then Total Information PM right here on KMOX.
Somebody who's working on Christmas, just like Hancock and Kelly. Welcome to the studio, Matt Pauly.
Fellas, how are you?
Fine, great. Man. How did you draw the short straw to be here with us?
He works here.
It's not a holiday.
Well, most of these other people,
I'm still the new guy. I've only been here for a year and a half. I don't have the equity to be like, hey, Steve, I'm going to take 2 weeks off like Dave Glover does.
That's what we're the new guys still, too. And 15 years. 15 years. We're still the new guy.
How was Christmas?
It was fantastic.
I mean, this was a big Christmas for the Pauly family.
Yeah, my daughter was 4, yes. So I mean, this was the first.
She's really into it.
Yeah,
now.
The night before, we're counting down every day. It was, and just watching her open presents.
What time did she get up?
We told her, we're horrible parents. We told her, unless there's an emergency, you are not allowed to come out of your room until we come and get you. And my wife and I slept in until about 8:30 and went and got her.
Was she sitting there
she was awake all night.
You're not going to get away with that much longer.
8:30.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we were about an hour and a half into it by then. We were going to tackle our parents.
It was.
I mean, we threatened her with, hey, Santa may not come if you come out of your room.
Well, he does know. There's probably $6,000-$7,000 worth of therapy down the road on that.
As long as I'm not paying for it.
Well, that's fun. And you're in your new house. So then Christmas, you had
and
the
my
tree
wife
up.
Is pregnant. So,
that's right.
We've got just so many things going on. Wow. My parents are living back in town again, so we saw them later in the day, so we got to do that with them. So, my daughter opened up her parents from my wife's parents on FaceTime with them, and then we went over to my parents' house. So she had multiple sessions of present opening.
That's so cool. Yeah.
Did she have a favorite, one that kind of rocked her world?
Yeah, so there's a Sky from Paw Patrol. There's a plane that has all kinds of, it makes all kinds of noises and everything. That was the number one thing that she got.
Paw Patrol. Is that a commercial? A cartoon?
Yes.
It's pretty
big.
Paw Patrol. It's huge. Yeah. They went to the movies. Matt took her to the movies to see Paw Patrol.
That's awesome.
They even make fun of parents in the movies because they basically tell you that we're doing stuff to cost you money. Like in the most recent movie, they blew up the tower and they started working out of a aircraft carrier just so the Pauly family could go drop $99.99 on the Paw Patrol aircraft, which was not even the number one gift for my daughter.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's incredible.
What did you think of those football games yesterday?
I thought the Ravens really showed out.
Man, he is, what a quarterback.
Lamar, yeah, really good. And their defense is, I mean, they've always been so good defensively under Harbaugh in Baltimore. But my goodness, that should be the Super Bowl matchup.
Class of the league.
And I think it still will be.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting? I was looking at, I'm not a big sports gambling guy at all, but I like seeing, I think that the way lines move is interesting.
Yeah.
And the odds really didn't change for the 49ers after yesterday. The Ravens odds got a little bit better to win the Super Bowl, but the 49ers odds basically stayed the same, and they're still the favorite to win.
Well, but don't you think, my understanding of gambling is it's not a true reflection of what's going to happen. It's a balance of where the general public is in terms of betting. And it makes sense to me that the 49ers would still have the momentum, et cetera.
And not a lot of money would probably come in when I was looking at it last night. I didn't look at it today. But you're right. What a point spread is, or a money line is to, the idea is to get some half the people to bet on one side and half the people to bet on the other.
What about Kansas City? Man, this is just not that good of a team, is it?
So many drops.
Yeah.
So many drops.
Well, he's got nobody to throw it to.
But even Kelsey's dropping it.
Yeah, but he's double teamed.
Yeah, but he's still dropping stuff. It's just, I think they're going to be fine once they get in the postseason.
Do you?
I was reading something today that if Washington fires Ron Rivera immediately after the season and the entire coaching staff and Eric Bieniemy became available again, that the Chiefs would consider bringing Eric Bieniemy back just for the playoff run, which would be...
Whoa!
If they did that and they went on one sort of a run, what better thing for his head coaching candidacy could there possibly be than him returning to Kansas City?
Well, I mean, that's been a narrative as Mahomes has kind of struggled through the last multiple weeks now, is that Bieniemy being gone has had a profound impact. Do you buy it?
Yeah, I do. But more about Mahomes was talking about how Bieniemy did a really good job of keeping everybody accountable. That was one of his roles with that team, and he feels like that doesn't exist as much. So just his presence, I think, would
be good. That seems unfair to me, that you get to pick somebody up when they get done with their other job to go with you for the playoffs. I mean,
Washington doesn't have to let him out of his contract.
Yeah, when Mike Trout's out every year with the Angels, so we just bring him in for, a couple weeks with the Cardinals? I mean, that's not right.
How would you like to be the offensive coordinator that's in Kansas City now and they bring your predecessor back?
Yeah,
that would be a slap.
Not great for job security.
Probably not going to work out so well for that poor guy. But yeah, they've been a disappointing team. I mean, everybody thought
9-6?
Yeah. I mean,
they're average.
Very.
Yeah.
You know, probably win their division, but that's might be it. That may be all she wrote. Matt Pauly, you got Sports Open Line tonight from 6 till 8
Full
o'clock.
2 hour. Mr. Pajeski over here is working.
He's incredible, this guy.
He's doing everything.
He's unbelievable, Matt Pajeski. Those knobs he's got over there, it's amazing what he does
with
those things.
Why are you talking about his knobs?
Well, he's got the knobs. He's got the little lights on there. It's a fascinating little board he's sitting behind. Michael Kelly, we will do this again tomorrow.
That's right.
I appreciate you being here. The news is next, and then Total Information PM right here on KMOX.